5:35, we are AM, we're on the record, we begin our meeting today with an invitation led by Commissioner Senegal, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Allman.
Dedicate this prayer to all employees that were flooded out, see, we have 75, 76. Harry, I think I missed sending my guy, and I had one guy flood, Joe Taylor. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this beautiful day. I ask that you bless the families that were affected by the storm. I ask that you keep them in your blessing, keep them in our prayers. As one employee suffers, so does all of us. I thank you for sparing some of the ones that did not flood this time. I ask these blessings in your mercy and your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Say the pledge in unison.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, our agenda today, items under purchasing, item A is no bids received for invitation to bid for a term contract for Lloyd and Jefferson County. Item B is considered approved execute receipt of professional services agreement with LJA Engineering Inc. for environmental consulting services for the continued implementation of Jefferson County Stormwater Management Program fiscal year 2020, for an estimated cost of $15,000, which will not be exceeded without prior approval. Item C is considered approved execute receipt of agreement with Thompson Reuters in Jefferson County for West Complete Library subscription for the 136th District Court for a 2-year period effective October 1st, 2019 through October 31st, 2021 at a monthly cost of $42 for the first year with an 80% increase for the second year. Item D is considered approved disposition of salary property as authorized by local government code section 263.1523 for broken or obsolete items. And item E is considered approved disposal of scrap metal property to be transported to a metal salvage company and there sold such prices that may command with the funds being returned to the county. There's a motion on those items under purchasing. Second by Commissioner Weaver, second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. As the county auditor, item A is considered approved fiscal year 2020 budget transfer to JP Precinct 2 for additional costs for extra help in the amount of $18,000. Item B is received by 2019 certificates of obligation transcript. Item C is to receive file the 2019-2020 budget. Item D is to receive file the order to adopt the tax rate at 0.364977 cents per $100 valuation, with the tax rate being 0.342205 for maintenance and operations and 0.022772 for debt service. Item E is regular county bill check numbers 463869 through 464040. Do I have a motion on those items under auditor?
So
moved by Commissioner Allman.
Second
by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
Question. Pat, can you explain what we're doing with this this transfer just starting the new year?
This is something we do, I think, every year because the JP does not fill one of his open slots, so he takes the money from the open slot and moves it to extra help.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The county commissioners. Item A is consider and possibly approve the 2020 county holiday. Item B is consider and possibly approve receive file a franchise from the city of Beaumont to Jefferson County to use and occupy a portion of Main Street in Beaumont pursuant to Beaumont City Ordinance number 19-061. Do I have a motion on those items?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Allman, I believe. Oh, I think both of you did. Weaver and Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under county tax assessment collector, I may consider possibly approve a resolution giving permission to the sheriff to conduct an auction to sell property currently held by Jefferson County and the entity for which it collects to be held on first Tuesday of November 2019. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Holmes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under engineering, we have one item, A, to execute receipt receive and file an overweight vehicle permit number 04-0W-19 and road use agreement between Jefferson County and Enterprise DE Products Pipeline Company LLC. Pipeline construction between Winnie, Texas and Beaumont, Texas, and that's located in precincts 2, 3, and 4. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? And we have a $3.4 million bond on that.
Right.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under environmental control, we have one item A, consider possibly approve waiver permit fee for renovations due to damages from tropical storm in Melba for the time period of 1 year ending September 25th, 2020, as a result of declared state of disaster in Jefferson County resulting from tropical storm in Melba. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver and Alford. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge, I just want to thank all of you in our office as well as the city staff for y'all working together on helping people, getting information out to people in terms of damage and the permitting process and working with them. And I appreciate y'all answering their calls, communicating with them about important information that affect them. Rhonda, could you take this a minute to give the court an update real quick on some of the processes that you're seeing go through the permitting?
Right now, we just got people coming in. We're weeding out the ones that we can get processed quickly, get them their permits, get them on the door. We do have, or have been working with city staff on the ones that are a little trickier that we have to do damage assessments or FEMA on. Right now, it's not too on the list. I think we've gotten a lot of people through the process, but it's just, you know, doing those damage assessments and getting to that next step to see where we are.
Thank you.
And commissioners, I'd like to add one thing. I've had two emails so far. You spoke about the substantial damage requirements, about having to raise your home if you're too low, that the county has. And I've had two emails so far from people who said, thanking us for requiring them to move their homes because they came through Imelda without any problem. Flooded in Harvey, but came through Imelda fine. So we do have some positive feedback that program, you know, our requirement is working in certain locations.
I've spoken to both the governor and Commissioner Bush, and they are going to work with FEMA to try to remove the FEMA substantial damage rule so that we can make incremental improvements in the resilience of our infrastructure by going to a higher base flood elevation.
Good.
As from that, it may take years, but we need to get there.
Judge, do we have any status or update on the possibility of the declarations?
Let's vote on this first.
Oh, all
right. Good. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. That concludes our regular agenda. I think Commissioner Weaver wants that. Patrick from Public Assistance stands up. They talking with people from TDM this morning. They've been embedded in the emergency operations center. I imagine that We have reached, you know, the threshold for the state for public assistance is $37.7 million worth of uninsured losses. Our county is up around $13 million. Of course, that's going to depend on the amount of debris. There's a difference between what we originally estimated and what BRC has estimated. But statewide, yesterday we went above $84 million, so the state reached its threshold for exact declaration for public assistance, which is assistance to units of local government, not individual. Individual assistance threshold rule of thumb, and only a rule of thumb, that's used by the Texas Division of Emergency Management, 800 homes with at least 18 inches of water, so that they can be classified as major damage or destruction, that are uninsured. But we know we have over 6,000 homes in Jefferson County that suffer flooding, but it's getting to that number, 800. Yesterday morning, we were at 316, and about 3:30 yesterday evening, with some of the damage assessments being done and feeding back to the computer, we got to 903. So we're above that threshold now. At the assessment teams are out in several of the counties now working it. That's 800 homes across the entire 13 counties that receive disaster declarations. So we're above the threshold, it's my understanding from TDEM that the governor's going to be talking to the president today. I'm not sure when he's actually going to declare it, because we still have public assistance assessment teams coming in to meet with Patrick on Friday, to meet with Mike White, Patrick, and Gary, to validate our estimates of what the debris costs and monitoring and uninsured losses in public facilities and so forth. I wish I had a personal ball. I wish I could tell you exactly, but that's the best information I have right now, Gary.
Just to that end, Judge, we received, as far as the county goes, as far as Jefferson County, we have received a lot of information from our department heads, elected officials, about damages received from the storm. If you have damage to any building and it's unreported, again, most of you have already done that reporting, but if you had damage and you have not reported it yet, Patrick and I are scheduled to meet with the adjuster tomorrow. A lot of that is not going to meet the deductible, which will go towards that public assistance, and we need to have that information documented. So if you could send me an email with a specific location, this is where the damage occurred, some pictures, that'd be great. We can at least get it to the adjuster, and then the adjuster can document that for us. Again, even if we don't meet a deductible threshold, we may be eligible then, if there's public assistance granted by the president, we may be eligible for some of that reimbursement.
Thank you. And another issue that the Commissioner's Court is going to have to act on relatively soon is that, as y'all know, Ford Park flooded the visitor center. Flooding was deeper towards the back of the facility, towards Highway 124, about 6 inches up in the front on ITN. And they've already pulled the trigger on the remediation team. They're out there, and they've got the cleaning all the studs, and they've got the sheetrock torn out and everything. Visiting yesterday, they have several events in October and November. October, ExxonMobil function. November 1st is the Nutcracker Market, and after that, Comic Con, and another couple of concerts. We have the problem that we have is ordinarily that would be eligible for FEMA public assistance. But if we follow the Code of Federal Regulations, Part 200, it's probably going to be December before we can get any work done. And they will have to cancel those events. If we use a job contractor to get it done in a timely fashion, it will likely, almost positively, not be eligible for reimbursement from FEMA. And I think Deb sent you some preliminary bids. One, they total about $220,000. One was 132 and one was 83.
Yes, sir. The one to be done for October 10th in order for the ExxonMobil employee function is $3,981. Now, the next section to be done by November 5th to accommodate the November events is $132,086.
Let me make sure I'm hearing you right, Judge. You said that we got mitigation, so we spent $500,000 on just mitigation?
Yes, sir.
That'll be eligible under emergency services, won't it?
Yeah, we're hoping it will. All of this.
Yeah, let me get a presidential
correct. Okay, a couple things to clarify. The teams are coming out, public assistance. Assessment teams come down Friday. They're going to try to look at the whole county, which includes the city of Baltimore.
Friday?
Yeah. hopefully they'll just look at some large things, but we're all going to meet at the EOC in the city of Beaumont, coordinate from there. There is a possibility we might need to go see some locations over the weekend. Tried to make contact with a couple of, maybe down that Hampshire building if they want to go look at that, so somebody can open that up. But really, it's kind of up in the air until we know Friday if we meet with them, if we're going to need to go out. And as always, we'll put the old comment out there, you know, look at your roads, just to make sure you don't have any visible washouts if you're able to look at those, because we did do an estimate based on Harvey damage of what we spent so far, just the material cost for Harvey. We're around $500,000 in material costs just for Harvey. Not that all that, any of that qualifies. But that's part of that is this is that $80 million total for all the counties. Our $13 million for us did include Hampshire for that. That was, we were asked to capture some of the area, some of the other entities within the rural county area, and they had projected around $3 million for their losses just on their school, uninsured losses for their two schools. And so that part of that $13 million with us included theirs, but mainly ours is Category A, Category B, and then of course these remediation for the Ford Park and Visitor Center.
So I guess I'm just trying to get my arms around this whole process. We should be pros at this, but it seems like every time they come in, it's a little different.
This week's different.
And so I know that there's been teams out this past weekend looking at areas of the county, and I have one of my precinct workers out there to kind of bring them around, and they're kind of going all, they'll tell them where they want them to go. And there's some of my areas that they hadn't even been to yet that were flooded. But the word I'm getting from my people that are on the ground taking these people around is they're looking for 18 inches of water or more. And, you know, so they're trying to hit those particular areas that are impacted, and I get that. But they are going to come back and look at these other areas, because if you go ask a resident, the difference between 18 inches and 3 inches, there's no difference. You know, I mean, to them, you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So, I mean, are they looking at it from a perspective of how many inches were in the house, or whether there's damage or not? And then does the water, you know, the water district is there in Central Gardens, and I know that they had a substantial amount of damage in the water district with their operations and all that.
And we captured those numbers.
I didn't know, did y'all call Tommy?
Yeah.
And give him, okay. So my guy on the ground was telling me, you know, if you want good information, you just call the guy that's there, boots on the ground, and okay. He's like, you know, we've been here all day long, and we've only been to 3 areas. So it's taking longer this time. Is that a good sign, or is that a bad sign?
Well, good sign is that we've gone above the 800 threshold. There's other things that take into consideration, demographic, socioeconomic, poverty levels, and so forth. And so, you know, that's all going to go into the request, the ability of the state to handle it on their own. And so, you know, I know that the governor's having those conversations with Washington. So we're just waiting to hear what actually happens. And then after that happens, then you still have to have supplemental disaster appropriation bill to fund the FEMA benefits. So, unless they transfer money over from another natural disaster, which there have been so many of them, I don't think there's any money left over to transfer.
So
they'll have to fund FEMA with the supplemental appropriations bill.
And so what my guy was telling me is when he's taking this team around, he takes them to a neighborhood that was flooded, and well, the debris's been picked up because the trucks are moving. Well, so they got through there and they're like, this didn't do that. And it was a ground zero area. I mean, it got hit hard, but all the debris's gone. So they don't really get the full perspective of it. Does that make sense?
And kind of, the, you know, obviously in Harvey, it was so widespread that you have tens of thousands of homes that are damaged. That that's an easy calculation. What you have to do is, we'll be working on this disaster summary outline with Mike and the team. Each county sends in their estimated cost, those thresholds. Now, on yours that they're driving around, they're looking at the individual assistance, and that was where they were looking for those uninsured losses. So what they had to do is go find where the losses were, and then they have to come back that night and go see if they have insurance under the flood insurance program for that address.
Yeah.
And
then they have you to go down
uninsured.
To so the EOC and look up on the screen in the EOC. There's a running dashboard that they update about every 30 minutes that has the damage, the homes that have been assessed, the number that TDM and the county came up with as damaged homes. What FEMA has so far was they classify them as destroyed, major, or minor damage. And then if you look down at the bottom left hand of the screen, there's a circle graph that has insured versus uninsured. If you look at that, the numbers of insured and uninsured are pretty small, and in the middle is unknown because they weren't able to catch the property owner at that home when they visited. So then they have to go back at night and double check that address with running through their system to see if they're in the NFIP database.
So that's your individual assistance. And then the public assistance is coming up on Friday. And normally, we give our, in the past storms, they've been so significant that you give the estimate and it easily reaches the threshold, the declaration's done. And this one, they were looking to make sure we made that declaration. And they're just a little different technique now. They're sending teams out to actually look at our damages for public assistance.
Yeah, they, you know, it's a different party. We had 21,845 homes that flooded. Over 6,000, and that's when, thank the Lord, those rain bands stayed off of Fort Dodge, Fort Mages, and Grove. And, you know, it really impacted the northern parts of Neyland. And, you know, it's horrible.
And the majority of Beaumont and my precinct, Mr. Commissioner Weed, my guys went out Monday morning with them, and they had not completed for us in Hampshire, so they started off there. And I found that was, you know, when they sent those guys in, your guys would know about it. So my guys went the first part of the day, that's where they were, and they got to mine about midday. So the day they took completing about this, the process is a little different, and like you said, my guys informed me that's what they were going to, those areas they felt that was 18 inches of that. So we're getting the same thing from the guys on the ground, boots on the ground.
It's just hard to know where those areas are.
Yeah.
Unless a homeowner standing out there waving you down and saying, we got 18 inches. I mean, driving through, there's just no way to really know that. You know, and what I'm afraid of is they might be missing some residents because the debris has been picked up in such an efficient manner that it's gone now. So they don't really have the impact. So hopefully it'll all work out. So we'll make sure people get help.
We want to make sure the media get that out to our public because that is very important. It's very important because they're moving a little slow and it's a little different this time around. We need to make sure that our citizens in the county know we're working as hard as we can to make sure that they work for their best interest.
So just clarification, like 18 inches that we heard. So it doesn't necessarily have to, it has to be, they have to measure these assessment units. They measure the amount of damage based on a windshield survey and then making contact with that homeowner, is that correct?
And what they found yesterday, the 18 inches is their rule of thumb because then you're impacting electrical.
Gotcha.
And they found some homes yesterday, blew my mind, that had 4 foot of water outside, 3 inches of water inside. And they got some pictures of people with 4 foot of water on their house up above the windows, and they're standing inside looking out. So I've never heard of that happen.
Because you're looking for those categories of damage, which is destroy, major, and minor damage. That's the three categories, and that's that. And as the judge said, as of yesterday, it was 903. The combination of uninsured, destroyed, and.
But do we get credit for minor damage?
I think because it's not, like Jed said, it's not, that's not the, not the benchmark to kick it in for individual system. It's one of the major factors. I think they look at all that along with, you know, the areas.
Even people who have minor flooding can still be eligible for some assistance, but it won't be as much, if I understood them correctly, as the, they were from what happened during the past disasters. And one thing that people need to understand, and this is going to be tragic for some people, is if they receive individual assistance or an SBA loan, normally there's a covenant in those SBA loan documents that they're going to continue to carry flood insurance. And I talked to several people out in the unincorporated area going around that had flooded in Harvey and flooded again and did not have flood insurance again. And there's some rules at the federal level that if you violate those covenants that you're going to carry it, if you don't carry it, then you're not going to be eligible for individual assistance or SBA loans.
So that's what you was talking about last week when you said 3 years of carrying flood insurance on the house?
Yes. Now, I was originally told by TDM that if you got individual assistance or SBA loan during the storm, that you automatically had 3 years of coverage. Before I announced that publicly, I called the SBA and they confirmed that that was the case.
Okay.
A couple of people called in relying on that, and NF National Flood Insurance Program said, we don't know what you're talking about. So the next morning, Chief Kidd had FEMA, SBA, NFIP, and TDM people call me on a conference call to explain under what circumstances individuals would be eligible under what's called a group flood policy for 3 years of coverage. I've had it explained to me. I've looked at their fact sheets. I haven't found one person who understands what it says yet. So we're still, so what I have requested of FEMA is that they provide me with a list of all individuals in Jefferson County that are covered under the group policy so that we can identify. They're supposed to be sending me, and Fred, if you'll follow up with them, they were supposed to be sending me a document to sign, a privacy disclosure document, and I have not found it on my email yet, so that they can provide us that information. And we can hopefully identify those individuals that are covered that might not know they're covered.
And see, the reason I asked, because I had a couple of people call me in reference to that, they personally went out and got insurance on the flood insurance, so, and we need double cover if that's the case.
Maybe. if they purchase coverage, I think they're. That was good enough that it would have kicked them out of the group policy. But we'll have to wait until we get that information from FEMA. So, here's a logistical question, Deb. You have two job contract bids to enable Ford Park to be reconstructed to a level so that it can function.
Yes.
And their first event is October
25th, something like that.
It has to be done by October 10th, and that's a week before the pro wrestling is October 26th, and the picnic is on the 12th, October 12th.
Well, I mean, do we have time to put it on the agenda for next Monday so that
next Tuesday, yes.
Next Tuesday.
Well, the good thing about these people are already on site, they're mobilized, and because they're doing the remediation. I mean, they're aware of the time frame, and they.
Well, I mean, we don't have an agenda item today, so we can't.
Yeah, no, but I can do it. Yes, sir. By Tuesday.
instead of the 8th, we've got 2 days to get it done?
Oh, no, I don't have firm.
Charge it to your emergency fund as part of the emergency. I mean, that's where we're gonna code the damage.
I know, but we can't, unless we have an emergency meeting this week. So I guess we need to have an emergency meeting. Anybody available tomorrow?
I'm available tomorrow, not Thursday, I'm available at 10.
Morning. I know I have to test it here tomorrow morning. We'll have to do our emergency procedures, send it out to all the media.
And I will get an agenda item.
Dale, how much money would we talking again?
83 and 132,000.
Let's look at, yeah, let's look roughly at, yeah, 84 and 132,000. And that's only to accommodate for these events in October and November.
That's not a...
That's not total repair, no. That's not total restoration.
And this is what, so the Ballwood Park, or this is part that they're gonna use?
83 is to do the exhibit hall and lobby, and the 132 is to do the dressing rooms.
Locker rooms.
Locker rooms.
And the meeting, and first floor of the meeting rooms.
For the exhibit hall. Any like permanent work for the pavilion, because it was in, that would be something we'd wanna probably put out for proposals.
We are getting help from Beaumont Maintenance in restoring the electrical out there and doing some minor plumbing issues.
I'm gonna come.
Well, I'm not, I mean, you got until tomorrow to make a decision and to look at it.
I wanna know more about, I need to talk to, whoever you ever talked to in reference to the remediation. What are we supposed to be doing there, how close we are, and how close we are on parameters, the amount of money that we're seeing it's gonna take compared to what it's taken. And this, have we had a second review, or somebody come look at, telling us what we need to do?
Well, I think she, as far as two proposals on the job worker contract.
I'm trying to get a second one. I have not gotten a response.
Yeah.
You know, it was on short notice, yes. I am trying to get another one. If I get that by tomorrow, I do not know.
But if y'all have time, I suggest y'all go out there and take a look. I'm sure Commissioner Office has been out there.
I have.
Go out there and take a look and talk to Claudia. And look at his...
But this won't be to repair everything.
That's what I'm...
This is just for a couple of things.
And on next Tuesday, you will be approving RFQs for engineering and architectural services to assess the visitor center and the remaining of the board park in order to get specifications to go out for bid for final repairs, for permanent repairs, that we will do according to all FEMA specifications.
I know there's a process next week.
I won't be there. I'll be there.
So...
Yeah.
So do we, are we gonna have a forum next week?
I'm out.
I'm out. Okay, all right, Wednesday, if we live maybe the Monday, we have a forum.
Can I put those RFQs on tomorrow for emergency?
Okay, we have a meeting on Friday, we have a forum. And I know we gotta get these engineers, or we will lose federal money.
And we are fast tracking the RFQs. We're not leaving them out there, because on the RFQ, you don't have to leave them out there like 6 weeks. So we are fast tracking the RFQs.
Can we go Friday one for Burson?
I'm here.
Let's do a Friday meeting then.
Okay, so we will have an emergency meeting for the repairs of board park tomorrow. And then Friday, we will do the approvals of the RFQs.
Yeah, let's do it 1 o'clock on Friday. You need to get longer your agenda items real soon so that we can do pretending about another under the open meeting that are otherwise we're not gonna do another emergency meeting.
We've already got the RFQs ready to go. I just need change dates. I'll get
agenda items that you propose.
And all this is coming to what happened?
Our depleting emergency fund. The FEMA fund, we have set aside, 200 fund, we're cutting this to.
The 200 fund?
Yeah.
And what about, at the end of the year, what about expenditures, what about gap there, how much did we not spend, so we know what we got there?
We're not there yet, we just, as we say, Christmas started today, because everybody got brand new money in their budgets for October 1st, but we need to track, we need like a month to see, month and a half, to get an idea of what we have remaining from last year's budget. You know, we'd already planned to transfer some money to the capital projects.
Correct.
We might have to transfer some to, to the 200 fund, because it did get depleted from Harvey. And one point of clarification, if there is a public assistance declaration, usually it starts at 75% reimbursement and 25% local. In the past, at Harvey, that was 90-10, with 10% kicked in by the state for debris, so we didn't have to pay any of the really absorb any of that $5 million of debris cost in Harvey.
So, well, the other thing that I want to make sure the public get and understand, that's why when we're talking about reserve fund and what we need to make sure that our county get back up and going, it's important and paramount that we look at that and ask commissioners that we look at that, because it's very important. If we don't have it, then we're in the real deal.
Was the number, Patrick, or 200 fund went from 5 million down to about 2.5?
No, 10 million down to 5 million. We started this storm at about 5 million. Mm. Now that's, we're still working on the reimbursements, closing out.
Well, we still have $984,000 from Ike that they owe us.
Yeah, that's dropped down. They've started working on Ike and getting some of those down. I don't know where our final figure is, because they're knocking some out and opening some. So we kind of fluctuate probably more than $600,000 range.
So these
for Ike, and then Harvey, of course.
That even,
most of the category A and B has been funded to us where we were, and we haven't settled with our insurance, and we're still dealing with roads.
Right.
And So
these repairs to Fort Park go get coded to the 200.
We're going to cut those to the 200 fund. We're going to, FEMA's in there. We're going to do our best.
That's like
an emergency fund. We have a 2% deductible, so that's $800,000 is your deductible out there at Fort Park, 800. Change. We've actually dropped it from 3 to 2, so we're down to 2%. We're doing our best to get cost-effective insurance. So that facility is at $800,000. So, with this repair, it's at $500,000, I believe, to do the remediation. And then what we're going to do, we're probably going to be all under the deductible. So that's what you normally take to FEMA to ask if they will help. Then you get into obtain and maintain insurance, prior disaster help, all those kind of arguments start coming up.
Is there any limitations on the emergency meeting and how it affects the expenditures on the Fort Park under statute that, we got to adhere to for that emergency meeting?
No, while we posted properly to give the meeting a notice, have a good reason, which is tropical storm, plus 6,000 homes was a good reason. Then we can consider any item that's within, that's not foreseeable. And certainly, this is not foreseeable.
Yeah, and you have this separate from the general fund, so.
We can't consider regular business things that are foreseeable. I mean, we can't do budget transfers.
So we're still having one more, though.
Yeah,
one track.
And right.
So Friday is the RFQs.
Yes, sir.
And well, that's for
that is hiring an architect engineer for the visitor center and for Fort Park.
From the damage from the tropical storm.
Exactly.
For permanent work, for other permanent work that's not emergency.
Now, if we can get any agenda item within the next hour and 45 minutes and get it posted by 1, we'll meet our 72 hours notice and can consider any item. And we can consider purchasing, auditing.
Right, we're gonna put on regular county bills. You might not have the actual check numbers, but you'll have regular county bills.
That's for Friday.
Yeah, because if we're not meeting next week, we need to pay some bills.
But, and then that way we can get those RFQs out on the street and get response.
All right, anything further? Not that we are adjourned, thank you.
No.